Lime, duh.
You think you knew me?
On this day, I see clearly everything has come to life. A better place in a broken dream. And we'll leave it all behind.
On this day, I see clearly. Everything's come alive. A better place
and a broken dream.
And we'll leave it all behind.
Oh. Wow, everybody. We're coming off the rumble, but we're bringing down the energy, but we still have the heat. Everybody, welcome to the Cal Post Rumble episode. We're just coming off hanging out in the Cal Zoom Thunderdome with the patrons over at patreon.com/comedianswrestling. If you didn't hang with us, you missed out. We were hanging out on Zoom watching the Rumble, marking out. We had a 120-person pool. It was Christmas. It was wrestling Christmas. It was a fucking great time. And let me tell you, there was a lot of Jews there. So it was, you know, that kind of Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Including Goldberg. All right. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's just get right into it. A lot to talk about. Many would say too much to talk about. We have a special guest. I'm introducing the guest first because he is our guest. You know him. It's on the air right now. Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. You know him from fucking Cowpod, Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin, the Edge crooner himself, who I think you blessed Edge. And made him win. Skyler, welcome back to the program.
It's so good to be here. I mean, Edge, I say, is definitely one of my guys.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Edge, I don't know. Is Edge not one of anybody's guys? I think most people have a deep appreciation for Edge.
He's not Dipperstein's guy.
But there's so much to Edge. Like, even going back to the fact that, like, he's in the. You could see him in the background of the Andre Slam, right? Wasn't he there at WrestleMania 3?
Yeah.
Like, he's such. He's the man. Anyway, let me introduce the rest of the room. The Super Mark, Nick Tulo, what up?
I got popcorn in my mouth.
a consummate professional, as always.
11:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's your boy, Chitone Tulo. What's up?
The man who just right before we got on the air said, I can record late. It's Saturday.
Me and popcorn.
And welcome back to the show. I'm not allowed to not have him on the show. The Comedians of Wrestling heavyweight champion, my ex best friend, Mr. Jason Shapiro.
He's got about ain't no beads around his neck. India, Romeo, Oscar,
Shapiro. Hey guys, it's me, the Beach Whisperer, the champion, your champion. Arguably the best champion, but here I am ready to chop it up with you guys.
From Hawaii right now. I mean, we're representing right now Los Angeles, Hawaii, Long Island, and Vancouver, British Columbia. Correct?
Wow, love that.
A place, maybe not the home of Edge, but a place Edge lived in the same country as
it's he's from Toronto, so it's definitely very
not
far
even close.
It's definitely very far away from where he's from.
Anyway, I'm pumped about Edge winning the Rumble. I want to hear from you guys. Like, what is your reaction to a big Edge win? And then obviously we'll talk about Bianca right after. I'm throwing it to you guys because I got.
Okay, look, the champion will take the floor first. Why not? Right. I mean, I am the better man. So Edge is. We said it. We said, how could it not be one of your guys? Some people, he's still not their guy. I don't know how that's possible, but he is undoubtedly one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. It took him years, but he finally hit that stride from the gimmick to the mic to the look to the outfits to the way he behaves and carries himself to being the ultimate opportunist. The guy is incredible, okay? And this Rumble win was fucking awesome. The Rumble was a really great Rumble. It's on the heels of last year's Rumble, which was maybe the greatest Rumble I've ever seen, definitely in recent times, right? The Rumble 2020 was absolutely incredible. And the stat I want to hit you guys with is, aside from, because we'll obviously talk about he won it at number one, which is almost unheard of, but we'll get into all that. But the stat I want to hit you with is, the guy's been, his past three Royal Rumbles, okay? The past three were 2010, he won the Royal Rumble, and then wound up becoming the champion in the aftermath of that.
And he posted a picture of that this morning, be like, I got to do this again.
Yep.
I got to get there again.
So he had the 2010 Rumble. Then he was retired for 10 years. And then he did the 2020 Rumble 10 years later, which was so him walking in to that Rumble, entering, clearing the smoke, and walking through it, that music hitting with that Metalingus sound just in your eardrums. And he walks through the smoke, and that look on his face, I'll never forget, just like, and his eyes and the intensity. And you could tell this guy is lit up inside. Like, I get goosebumps. I got goosebumps watching it. I got goosebumps rewatching it today. It is that moment, Edge's return in last year's Royal Rumble, is one of my favorite moments in all of my pro wrestling watching history of my life. It is one of the best moments I've ever seen because it's fucking real.
That is one of those things about wrestling that's like when people are saying to you, what do you like about this shit? It's fake, or like blah, blah, blah. That is one of those things that people don't understand. You ever seen that? There's that like famous, that meme that went like super viral, which is like, yeah, sex is great, but hearing your favorite wrestler's music hit when they've been gone for like 3 months, it might be better or whatever. You know what? It's worded better than that. But like, that is the kind of thing that people don't get. Like Edge coming back, that blend of work shoot where you're like, we know his neck is fucked up, we understand that he shouldn't be here, but he's still doing it. And like at this point with Edge, it's so funny, he's not even the rated R superstar. Like, he can wear the R's, right? He's not doing any of that stuff. He has no gimmick. His gimmick is, I should not be wrestling, but I am. And we love him for that, right?
His gimmick is being Edge. And the thing that you said, like, people who don't know wrestling can't appreciate is, we're all fans, so we see all the layers, but we all know, the people in the know we saw Edge at the background in the picture at WrestleMania, I believe it was 6, actually, Hogan versus Warrior, because that was the one in Toronto.
Oh, I thought it was 3, because it was in Toronto.
Toronto was Hogan Warrior. We saw him as a kid with his face just ecstatic because he's in the Toronto Sky Dome watching this thing. We see him start at the bottom as a tag wrestler, in the Brood with weird hair and a terrible You Think Me Know Me music, and it's not working, and then finding the stride. Then we see him become the Ultimate Opportunist and win the World Heavyweight Championship with no one ever thought this guy would have made it, and he does, and then he has to retire at the top of his fucking game because of the injury. Your heart breaks for him when you hear him give that speech for him retiring, way more than Daniel Bryan's retirement speech.
Right.
Edge's retirement speeches will level you. It's so real. And then for him to come back, goosebumps, like you can't imagine. No other thing has this. And so I'm so happy he won again.
Yeah. Skyler, you have, you tweeted with Edge as of like a week ago or whatever. Where are you at on Edge winning? How did it make you feel? You're an Edge mark?
Yeah, we went back and forth. It was nice. I'm a big Edge mark. I'm just really kind of looking forward to and interested in the story that they're going to tell him and Roman. Like what the why is, you know, because obviously, I won. That means I get to challenge for one of these. I'm going to pick the heel. But what is it about his legacy? What is the story? What is Roman going to want to keep him from doing? You know, he doesn't want anyone to, is it just generic, I'm head of the table shit, or is it actually going to like become really personal?
And it's dangerous. You could easily fall into legend killer territory with it.
Right.
Like you kind of want it to be a little more nuanced than that. But the thing about Edge is that I have such
you took my fucking move.
It's spear versus spear, but one of these guys' spear looks a lot more painful than the other guy.
I want to see these guys spear each other at the same time, and then like time stops, and like a lightning bolt goes in there, and then the Undertaker rises from the dead.
You break a saber, like when you break a lightsaber.
Exactly.
Well, I think I'm the only one out of all three, out of all four of us right now that I actually think, I don't think he's going for Roman. I think he's going for Drew. Wow. I think he's going to go for Drew. I think the title, I think the way it's all set up with Raw and everything like that, I think actually the match would be
Edge's going to spear the bagpipes.
I don't think Edge and Roman would be as compelling as everybody thinks it's going to be. I think actually an Edge versus Drew would be a little bit more compelling. And I think there's more options on SmackDown that can happen with
those
Roman.
Are two huge baby faces.
Seth is back. So you can go Roman, Seth. There's a lot of options.
So two faces and then two heels.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It doesn't add up.
It's not good. That's Steiner math. Yeah, but so the thing with Edge, I'm such a sucker. Listen, I mean, Drew Edge, I'm down for that. They'd have to do a bunch of change. Do they ever change anybody from face to heel after they win a Rumble? Like, do they ever change their
story kind of tells itself there, because it's the guy that's coming back that's trying to, like, you know, get his last shot, and it's the new guy that's trying to defend the honor of the up and coming talent. Like, he just beat Goldberg, and now Edge is back, and Edge is coming for it. Like, this just keeps happening. He just faced Randy. He keeps getting these old timers that are trying to come back and be like, it's still our business. And Drew's like, keeps defending it against these huge fucking beasts. Right,
I think
Drew McIntyre Edge is not a not doable match, right? You could have two facey guys kind of face off in a dignified, honorable way, or you could have Edge start turning a little bit more dickish. Like, that's not the one that's tough to figure out. The tougher one is almost the obvious one of, like, Roman, Seth. Like, that seems like a no brainer to put those guys together.
Edge.
No. I'm saying I could see Edge, McIntyre maybe making some sense. I'm having a tougher time seeing the one that on paper would be obvious, which is Seth Roman. And because Seth Roman are both doing some incredible heel work, like, that's a tougher turn right now. You really don't see heel versus heel for Mania.
Yeah, I was severely disappointed when Seth came back tonight and he's still in the Messiah music.
Yeah.
I really broke my heart.
It's like, what is he? He's giggling like.
Yeah.
And I will say, Dan, in the Kowloon Thunderdome, Dan worked me like four times. He kept dropping the Seth music, and every time he dropped it, I thought Seth was coming out. He literally gave me a fucking heart attack at one point.
But so, yeah, so look, I don't get, like, I'm saying, yeah, Edge Roman, yes, it's like, Edge is just so fucking good on the mic. Like, like when they give him the mic, and not in a way where it's like he's like can really tear you down. It's not like, it's not even as much about promo work. It's more about his like emotional acting. Manipulation. I was going to say acting, but I don't know if that was too far. Skyler, is it acting?
It's 100% acting. I think he and Bray Wyatt are like some of the best actors in the business.
Right. So like Edge, You believe him. He makes you believe it. So I think his problem with Roman, I think Roman will need to go like a little further to push Edge. But the question really to me is like, then who wrestles Drew at Mania? Now I don't actually know what the Drew match is. You know?
Right.
You still have Brock come back at Fastlane, you know, or like
something. Oh, it's Brock. I'm so stupid.
Yeah.
It's Brock. I've been saying it's Brock forever. I just assumed that because I didn't see him tonight that's not it. Brock can show up next week.
Well, that's definitely the sell. Like, Brock McIntyre, that's the big money match.
Well, of course.
Yeah, and by the way, Edge Roman, someone said it maybe in the Cow Zoom. Maybe it was one of you guys. I don't remember, but someone said, Edge comes back and says, look, man, the title that I retired, that I never lost, was the SmackDown belt. Like, that's the one I gave up. So that's the one I'm coming right back for. I'm going to pick up right where I left off.
I'm not going to say that. They'll never say that.
Yeah, sure. He would never say that. You're right. I'm a complete idiot.
Why wouldn't he say that, Tula? You think at WrestleMania they're going to go two huge faces versus two huge heels, and they wouldn't mention the storyline that they have in front of them?
Also, at the same time, Brock can easily come back and just challenge Roman, because now you have the Heyman involved. It's such an easy story to tell. What does this mean? Brock's back. He's challenging Roman. You go,
oh, babyface Brock, versus heel Roman is interesting.
Babyface Brock does not exist. There's no such thing as babyface Brock.
Sure does. If Heyman's on the other side, that's kind of crazy.
It's tweener Brock, but it means like in that you might sympathize for Brock. Listen, they're not doing it because you think they're going to do Roman versus Brock again? I might have to Mania just to object.
Quick question, though. Let's assume that Maybe they will do that. Maybe they will do Tweener Brock, and maybe they will do Seth and Roman. Why can't? Let's say that's maybe gonna happen. But why were you so discounting of my not even my idea, that someone else's idea of like, oh, Edge would just say, yo, I had to lay down the SmackDown title. I want to be the champion of that show again. That seems like that's not like crazy. That seems like
that's
a very
exactly his whole the whole story of his course. Comeback is that like I had to hang up not on my own terms. So it's about a man taking what's his back.
My question is this: if you have Edge versus Roman, and then you have Drew versus Brock, how is Brock going to be then without Heyman on the other brand? Like,
that's
a great question. I don't see Heyman working dual time. Like when he's on Raw, he's with Brock. When he's on SmackDown, he's with Roman. So does Brock come back alone to challenge Drew?
That's what I'm saying.
No, that's probably why he's not back yet. That's probably why Brock is there. Like, let's bring him back a week out. Let's pull a Taker 34.
Right. So you don't have to think about it. So no one has to actually think about it. You just be like, oh, Brock's back. I guess. You know what I heard? I heard they're putting with a new valet, like a new manager. Reggie the Sommelier was going to come out with Brock Lesnar
with no wine.
No, he's gonna be—he's his creatine and steroid sommelier.
Yo, he's a sommelier. Like, if you think about what wrestling was when we were kids, right? Like, if you were Brutus the Barber Beefcake, you hold scissors you couldn't even cut a single hair with. That is huge.
They're so big. You just have to really show scissors, scissors, scissors. Now guys come out and they're just talking about stuff that's not on screen. They're like, here comes Reggie. He was a poli sci major at Caltech. That's his gimmick. And he doesn't really talk about it. He's like, dude, I did 4 years at Caltech. You know, cool, but whatever.
Damian Priest's thing is that he mimes a bow and arrow. It's like,
right.
Everything is like, they don't, it's like for the amount of production they have, they really shortchange doing anything. Yeah. So like he's a sommelier. He doesn't have like a wine setup. Couldn't he come out and like be like, and like try to sell some wine or something? I don't know.
Here's Mandy Rose's valet. He's the shoveler, and he just comes out with nothing.
This guy's great at shoveling. We couldn't get him a shovel. He refuses to bring his shovel here. He's just wearing a suit.
Much more. He's not just one thing. Yeah, at home, he's the shoveler. He's shoveling driveways for extra cash. Yeah. He's great at it. But he's also a dynamic person. He also loves horticulture. And also, he's Mandy Rose's valet sometimes. Like, don't put him in a box.
Fair point. But the Carmella thing is just like, she's coming out for the Rumble after her match now, later in the day. And he's coming out with her with water. Feeding her water. And they're like, there's Carmella with her sommelier, not with a sommelier, with like her.
Yeah,
personal.
Also, like, I actually love what Carmella's up to. I'm Carmella is one of my guys. I really like Carmella. I'll give you the nod there. Nothing about what he's doing is actually like complimenting her gimmick to me. Like, I think it's like, why not have him go way further?
Dumbing it down.
Why wouldn't he have like an umbrella for her? She doesn't want sun. You know, right? Yeah. Like, like it's wrestling. People in real life are doing more extreme shit for their clients than this guy's doing in wrestling.
By the way, like, they are always sticking Carmella with some dude. I mean, it's Ellsworth or
Enzo and Big Cass.
But also, she was wasn't she with
R-Truth
for a very long time?
R-Truth, they were doing the dance party,
second dance break. She was a face, and now she's with Reginald. It's like, do they only think she needs some jabroni half-sized guy? Like,
she needs a man.
Yeah, but not even. It's always like some fucking weird.
I know. Yo, by the way, would kill if it was Ellsworth and they just called him a sommelier.
Oh my god! Even better, if it's Ellsworth, but in the off season since we've seen him, he went back and took a sommelier course, and he like wears the thing around his neck. Ellsworth, he's like, yeah, look, guys,
he classed it up since he's been gone.
Well, because in AEW, they always talk about how Schiavone had to apply to be a Starbucks barista because he wasn't on TV anymore. Like, maybe Ellsworth was like, look, I was going to start working at some high-end restaurants, working on a wine program, getting a real fantastic wine program together for the Chili's in downtown Fort Lauderdale. And now I'm also a certified sommelier.
Okay.
And
I love it. I got to jump back to something when we're talking to Skylar. Skylar Aston, listen, we played you crooning the Edge song, right?
Uh-huh.
Which came from the show. And Edge knows about it. He's heard it. He liked it. What are the odds of, all right, Edge comes out at Mania, right? And you sing that before the song kicks in. I'm not saying you should come down to a soft version of it, but what if you opened it up like that on the stage and then you play like they did for Cena Rock, a montage of his career? You know what I mean?
I would love that. A little, yeah. On this day, doom, 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 I see clearly.
Right. You're on the same network. On Peacock also. Star also of Peacock, right?
I'm all over Peacock, baby.
I
have multiple shows on Peacock.
Sure, that's what I'm saying.
So I think that'd be really great. I think it would work. It would be even more fitting, though, if they kept it in L.A. this year and didn't do the whole shuffle.
Right.
You know, because that's a real L.A. gimmick, like almost an in memoriam, but he's still alive. It's like a retrospective. You know what I mean? I'm sitting there in Tails, like playing with the spotlight, and it's just going through his first boot entrance. You know, down to the cash in.
Oh my God.
Celebration. It's so clear to me. Everything is come to life.
Oh, it'll be so great. And you're in a tux, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, it's tux, spotlight, old school mic, like
piano swingers, player?
Swinging bed.
I'm playing piano.
You
come on, Dan. You
find yourself a man who can do both.
What do you think? This guy's just a triple threat? Nah, bro. There's a quadruple in there. Come on.
What do you think? I need a sommelier? I got my own keys.
Bro.
This is Reginald Sommelier. He plays piano.
That would be so sick. Now, wait. I also want to ask both of you guys something quick. This is random. Bad Bunny. You saw him before tonight, okay? You saw Bad Bunny go. Listen, I don't know who Bad Bunny is. No knock against Bad Bunny. I took a lot of heat. In the Patreon Discord, saying that I think Dave Matthews would get them going more. I'm just saying because it's actual live music with instruments, they wouldn't just play like their most low key song.
Hey, my friend, it seems your eyes are troubled. Care to see? Die with me.
All right, everybody's Bad Bunny. I don't know.
Good idea would be to get it off your mind.
So that's a joke about Dave Matthews, but I'll say that I feel like the WWE crowds, I know it's the Thunderdome now, they are like fucking screaming for live music. Like, get more. There should be way more live bands playing at these events.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, Edge. Yeah. Where were we at?
Bad Bunny was also a waste of a Rumble spot, huh? Like, I don't know. I mean.
Well, I mean, you know, I do have a problem with Bad Bunny. It's fine. He's Bad Bunny. Same thing. But, like, if you remember when Machine Gun Kelly, who came back, was kind of everybody's guy right now. When Machine Gun Kelly came, he took a huge bump for Kevin Owens, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens he's like, hey, I'm the celebrity guest. And then Kevin Owens came out and be like, I fucking hate celebrity guests, and slammed him through a table. This is Bad Bunny taking out Miz, the Money in the Bank briefcase holder, and Morrison. It's just kind of fucking annoying. Those guys are that bad at wrestling that they can't see Bad Bunny coming. Now, all right, fine, I'm going too far with it. But Miz actually is holding the briefcase. Why are they making him a clown?
They're clowning Miz hard. I mean, that's always the downfall of the chicken shit heel, is like they have no governor on that. So if they like label you like a chicken shit heel, they'll let you get like douched by some fucking skinny Latin guy. Like, they don't give a fuck. It's like they're just whatever, bro. Like, they're giving zero credibility to Miz or Morrison. Even Morrison's sort of like a raging wuss now. Yeah. Like, he's just like, I don't want any trouble, my man. Like, it's awful. Chicken shit heel.
The physique of the Macho Man, and he's a chicken shit heel. Also, what was that thing when Kevin Owens and Roman were fighting? They went backstage to that other ring.
What was that?
Not only that, they also showed you Miz's gear sitting next to the Money in the Bank briefcase.
They showed the briefcase in the foreground. And I mean, like, is this supposed to be teasing us?
Well,
or was this just?
Ooh, do you see the briefcase?
Fuck is going on?
Guys, we've recorded this post Rumble. What time did you start drinking, Tulo?
I had no idea.
All right, sick.
So he just said he wants two faces to face off at Mania. Two heels. All,
not two faces.
He said that Edge is not going to mention that he had to give up the title, which is a great story point for him. And you said you did the impersonated a ghost.
SmackDown title, like that's a like a thing, like the.
All right.
Wow. Dan, you gave him the hard mute. That's cold, baby. That's cold. No, I was going to say that because we're just to stay on topic here. Skyler brought up the Money in the Bank briefcase with Miz Gear laying on a table. And we're sort of like, hey, is it sort of a Chekhov's gun scenario? We're like, are we going to see Miz? Is Miz involved now? Is the Money in the Bank somehow involved in this feud?
Yeah, it was artsy.
I honestly think it was truly Miz left it there by accident to get a burrito from Crafty, and like,
dude, that's 100% what happened.
And they just forgot to. They were like, "Oh, no one moved it," and then it just in the shot.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe, I mean, let's keep in mind what happened at the end of that match. The end of the match, Roman lost by accident. Roman handcuffed himself to the ring, lost the title technically, and then right. So, I mean, the whole thing was a botch.
They had a killer referee. They had a killer referee and then have another one have an aneurysm and forget how to count to 10 in order for that.
Well, is it then Roman was trying to stand on his feet, right?
No, the problem was that Paul couldn't unlock Roman's handcuff.
Was it a weird angle?
Paul Heyman hasn't bent down since the 80s. I mean, so
they need Jey Uso to come behind Paul Heyman with like his iPhone flashlight being like you can't see it. Because it was so clear. It was just that awkward thing where he's blocking it and it's so small. Paul Heyman probably got fat hands.
Yeah. He was doing so much. He probably saw his dick for the first time in like 30 years. Hey, folks. All right.
He's all thumbs. He's all thumbs.
Yeah. But so let's just talk about notable absences from the Royal Rumble, men's Royal Rumble, while we're on the men's Royal Rumble. Keith Lee, who Mia Yim is his girlfriend, I don't know if they're engaged or anything, but diagnosed with COVID, confirmed. And then he wasn't in the Rumble. And then I'm seeing on his he posted to stories just now. Someone said, "We love you, Keith Lee, hashtag Royal Rumble." And then he retweeted it. I don't know what that means. I'm just giving you all the information.
Yeah, you know how I feel about that. That's not a huge loss. I mean, he's good in Rumbles for sure, but he's not like going to win a fucking Rumble this year. It's not like he was like slated to win, you know?
I think he had a shot to win.
No, he did not. Vince does not like him. Vince does not like him.
Vince likes him and then doesn't and then likes him. And
he's
doesn't.
Not putting that guy putting. He's not strapping a jetpack to that guy's back this year to bring him to Mania. That's not happening.
Well, to be honest, that's probably the only shot Keith Lee has because Vince will be bored of him by next Mania. Like this was his shot, you know. But whatever, we'll see what happens. Brock Lesnar obviously not in the Rumble.
Doesn't need to be.
No, it doesn't need to be. No Fiend in the Rumble.
That was question. I thought they had a great opportunity to do a Faces of Foley, have a Bray elimination Fiend.
Have Bray, Sweater Bray get eliminated by Randy, and then Fiend come back and eliminates Orton, right?
Right. As like the next entrant after Bray gets eliminated.
Or
like,
not so even an entrant, you know, just he comes back to handle his biz and then he's gone, right?
Sure, yeah. I don't know. It's a missed opportunity because there's some fun to be had there.
Anyone else missing? The only other person I had who's missing is a guy I wasn't totally expecting to be in. Well, Aleister Black. I did expect Aleister Black to be in the Rumble. And this kind of confirms to me him not being in the Rumble. He was the guy I wanted to win the Rumble because I think he's a really interesting pick first. I think you build him up to be a full-on spooky boy against Roman. And you have actually Roman have to deal with an interesting opponent, and you really, really build up the Black Mass as a, if you get hit with this, you're done. Anyone can get hit with this.
The guy's 5'11". It's a problem.
It's a problem.
Alistair?
And I love him. But yeah.
That's not short. That's a lot taller than me. But is that his actual height?
He's got to be around there, man. He's got to be. He looks so small next to Randy Orton. In NXT, he looked so like normal size, but next to it's that Randy Orton test they talk about. He looks like
that Shoemaker's test.
Yeah. The question is to the point of the striking, like because this guy truly does have educated feats. He might be the best pure striker in wrestling now that The Undertaker is retired. So no, but it all,
but it all actually is the best pure striker. It's so funny.
I mean, he really is, right? And he has that sort of Undertaker mantle of spookiness. So the question is, yes, he's undersized, but can we sell the black mass as a strike? Can we sell some of the, like, look, Daniel Bryan's not like looking big next to Orton, you know? Can we sell and make Aleister Black's strikes be the equalizer?
Why are we talking about Aleister Black's strikes when we should be talking about Bianca Belair winning the Royal?
Because we're still talking about the men's Rumble. We didn't even talk about the Rumble itself.
We do it in Stulo. We do the show in segments. We're talking about the men's Royal Rumble now. We're
talking about a guy that wasn't even in the Royal Rumble, man. He wasn't there. Obviously, he's not that. He's not in
Stulo. Get enough to be in the men's Royal Rumble. Put a hot cup of coffee on.
I mean, I feel bad muting the guy, but he's so mutable tonight, right?
I mean, is there a button where you
wanting to talk about Bianca Belair? That's more important.
We'll get to her. We're obviously topics.
We're not at that point of the show yet.
We've been doing this for fucking 15 minutes. We're clearly going to talk about the Women's Rumble a whole lot. Okay, hit the mute button and then hit a button that makes him.
I think the Women's Rumble was a lot better than the Men's Rumble.
I don't. For a few very obvious reasons. But let's not get suckered into talking about the Women's Rumble before we actually do the.
Because now I think he's eating ramen noodles.
Eating ramen noodles. Hit the button that makes him drink some black coffee, whatever that. But like, sober him up.
Does Zoom have that option?
Yeah. Anyway, black coffee button.
No, but what were you saying?
I just want to talk about like actual Men's Rumble. Like, did we think it was a successful Rumble? You know, we don't need to talk about it. I mean, I know it's offending Tool to keep talking about Aleister because he wasn't there, but what do we think about the Rumble at large? Like, I thought it was pretty good.
I think I was more pumped by the Women's Rumble. Am I crazy to say that? I think the Women's Rumble, it started out like really fucking hot. And then I think by the ending there with Charlotte, Bianca, and Rhea. I was like, that was a great threesome there. Yeah,
you know, you're definitely right. The Women's Rumble was really good. It was awesome. Maybe is it the best Women's Rumble? Maybe. But the thing that I just hated, the fucking R-Truth has to come in, and we got to have a bunch of dudes in there, one thing that bugs me a little bit about Women's Rumbles is like, you know, that point of there's 21 active.
By the way. He suckered us in. Now we're talking about them.
Well,
21
last year with the fucking whatever the other fucking shit that they did last year, and now this year.
Of course.
They just can't let the women have a fucking Royal Rumble.
Right, and then
last year?
Mark that end.
Santino or whatever the fuck it with the.
Yeah. I don't mind Santino because
I think Hornswoggle was in drag one year, right?
Well, because
I think I was at that Rumble. I watched Hornswoggle.
There's no need for fucking R-Truth to come down.
Well, look, Santino actually has a career. He wrestled as a woman for a while, so that's not that crazy. I'd rather see Santino as Santina than see Jillian Hall and see like. Someone I've never even heard of. I guess it's okay because she's
24/7 title fucking match to happen in the middle.
Well, the contact, the Santina thing, by the way, was a part of story where he was dressing like he was ladybugsing and he was pretending to be his sister. So it was actually in the lineage of wrestling, whether we like it or not.
He's a female.
I got no defense of it. What?
I'm saying he was a legitimate female roster member.
Right. So it's not this thing where like. Sometimes people treat it like, oh, they just dressed Santino up like a woman because they couldn't fill spots. It's part of wrestling history. Like, it's like if the hand came back, it's like that was one of the stupidest thing ever. Mark Henry is the father to a puppet, a full life-size puppet hand from Mae Young.
Also,
if that came back, you'd be like, all right, well, it's part of the story, you know.
I mean, it's also a white hand, which is just sloppy writing, honestly.
Yeah, it was a white skinned hand. What were you saying, Skyler?
I'm just saying it's wrestling canon. You can't argue it.
Right. It always kind of it's like I understand. I don't know. You know, I understand, but it's like we do, you know, in the Rumble, they go like, remember when this happened? And they even nod to like, that was stupid. It's not like Santina won the Rumble. You know what I mean? She got her ass beat by all the women. You know,
I think on the whole, I like the booking. I like how front loaded it was. It was it started off with a bang. The 24/7 spot was like annoying, but it didn't take a number. R-Truth didn't come out as number four. I think the Rhea Ripley entrance was Drew McIntyre adjacent, I would say, from last year.
Yeah.
It was powerful. She looked the best in 8K by a mile.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, she's got 8K shoulders. Like, she's built for that shit. She looked incredible. She looked great. I thought she was going to win because just her in-ring swagger and, like, motion and the way she was eliminating people. I'm like, that's what you do when you know you're going to win this thing. She looked great.
That's why I'm saying it's like when Drew came out last year.
Yeah.
That feeling.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if we're talking about just, like, failed weird things also, I felt like the Orton fake injury thing was just a waste of Orton in the Rumble this year. You're like, we knew he was coming back. I guess they got a nice out of nowhere spot out of it, but I don't know. He didn't need to, like, limp away and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, the Women's Rumble, yeah, it was front loaded. There was a lot of wrestlers who, like, could potentially win it. And Bianca had that thing. It's one of my favorite things about the Royal Rumble, where you have that. There's just an energy about what the Royal Rumble is and what it could do for a wrestler, where you start doing some math in your head of, like, is this person at the level where they could believably win and it would boost them and people would get behind it? And it's crazy. Wrestling marks fans are like, we're always kind of on the same page about that, really. Like, you're always kind of like last year with Drew, we were all like, yeah, this makes, yeah, we'll go with this. You know, it's kind of cool how we all kind of rally together. And Bianca was that this year. Even the Vegas betting lines, like, she was like, it was her and Charlotte were like the top two with the worst odds. For what the most, you know, highest odds of actually winning. So it's cool that that happened, whether you're a Bianca Belair mark or not. It did feel like this is a good way to use that Rumble to get someone going. Now, perfect. Also, WWE, they want to be ahead. You want to be ahead sometimes. You want to be ahead, like, even if someone's a little, like, close to that, you want to be ahead of the booking where you're like, oh, wow, they actually are ahead of me here, where, because they're always so far behind. They're always late, you know? So I think it was really cool. Bianca, where do we go? Bianca, Sasha? Well, I don't see Bianca, Asuka. It's got to be Bianca, Sasha, right?
They're all baby faces.
I know. I guess Sasha's kind of tweener because she's, like, badass baby face.
Because she's got a fucking bad attitude. No, I think Bianca, Sasha would – that's a very exciting match to me. I don't know why. That just feels about right.
Because they, you know that those are, like, two wrestlers who are going to, like, go at it. The problem with Asuka is Asuka cannot build a feud, in my opinion.
Buddy, you're preaching the choir. I think Asuka is a bottom-of-the-barrel talent. Like, I think she's incredible. Yes. I think she's really good at wrestling, but I don't even know because, like, her big move is a butt bump. But, like, she can't sell a feud. She can't cut a promo. She doesn't act like she understands wrestling psychology or how to, like, even act normally for 5 minutes. It's not a language barrier thing. She's a fucking weird lady.
No, it's true. It's not just language barrier. There's times where she's just, like, going nuts, and it's like, I know you speak – I've seen you speak enough English where you know what your role is in this segment, and you're ironically detached, going crazy.
Or dancing around or squiggling and be like, ooh, I don't know. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing, lady? Also, the language, if she just spoke Japanese, sometimes in her life she had done the, I'm just going to yell in Japanese, that's my promo, and those were pretty cool. Like, I have no problem with that. It's that she is fucked up in the head. She's a weird lady.
Chad, as always, you take it too far, and then I gotta agree with you. It's like, I agree with parts of what you're saying. You said, like, she doesn't have she's a bottom of the barrel. It's too much. It's too far. Like, she's a good, in my opinion.
Let me name you off the top of my head five people that meet fucking way better champions than her. Sasha doesn't count because she, you know, whatever. Like, she's already the champ. Charlotte, Becky's coming back. Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Bianca, Shayna, who I don't even like, Nia Jax. These are all people that would be more exciting to me if they had that strap than Asuka.
Yeah, but that puts you in the top eight, not bottom of the barrel.
All right. Well, top eight when there's 21 active women maybe I'm exaggerating, but she's not the worst woman on the roster. I just don't think she's like, people put her in this camp like they talk about Asuka like it's like a foregone conclusion that she's one of the greats. And I'm like, she's not that good, guys. Like, why do we just accept everything? Like, she's so incredible in the ring. I'm like, is she even that good? Like, I don't know. She's fine. I've seen better work.
No, she's okay. So I agree with parts of what you're saying. And I think I would agree even more 2 months ago. I think like now I really like what she's done with Alexa. And I attribute that a lot to Alexa and the character that she's done. It's been a good pair for her.
Yeah.
I'm actually wondering and considering, just thinking about Bianca Belair, like, is there a world?
See how calm people act, Shebs? I just want to say, Scott, sorry to interrupt you, but you see how this guy's giving his point like a normal human being? Is that possible for you to do?
One time, somebody told me my mic was a little low and hard to hear, and I've been screaming into it ever since.
I'm sorry, Skylar. I just wanted to point it out. I was like, wow, this is soothing. This is comfortable. This is why, you know, this is the star quality that you need, all right? Go.
I'm just wondering if there's a world where Asuka or Sasha drop the belt before Mania, because I'm actually trying to book Bianca's Mania match, and I'm like, neither of those blow my mind. I do like Sasha, Bianca, obviously.
Come on, man.
It's fun. It's fun. It's who's the best. It's going to be who's the best.
I think they go Sasha Boba Fett. I think that's what I think. Mania Sasha Boba Fett.
Sasha Bianca is the way to go. It's undeniable. They will absolutely kill that lead up.
If I was WWE, Charlotte would never, ever not be the champion.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't understand passing the titles around when Charlotte's around. It's like everyone should be – she is the benchmark to beat. She's the Okada of the WWE's women's division, where it's like if she's not holding that title for 2 years straight, then it's a prop.
100%. You know what I mean? And to Skylar's point, she's the one that will take the title going into Mania off Asuka. Like, I think that's what's going to happen.
She could.
Charlotte?
Yeah, I think Charlotte will get that title somehow between.
That's what I'm talking
about. You go Charlotte Rhea again?
Let me tell you something. I don't want to see Bianca on Charlotte because I don't think Bianca should beat Charlotte.
Charlotte's a huge Bianca mark, by the way. I just want to let you know that. She's on record.
Okay, okay. And there's no reason not to be.
Yeah, it's going to be Bianca versus Sasha, 100%. Yeah. And then Charlotte's going to get that title off Asuka before going up to WrestleMania, okay? And then whoever is going to have it.
He is the best. I mean, come on, man. Tula, we rip on you, but it's just.
I'm not ripping. It's just funny that you're
saying this. Like, you're shirtless wearing Hawaiian beads. It's not like.
I live in Hawaii, bro. I'm just trying to embrace the culture.
Oh, man. What did 2020 do to us?
Are you saying it would be a Charlotte, Bianca, Sasha triple threat?
No, I'm saying it will be Bianca versus Sasha, and then it will be Charlotte versus whoever wins the Elimination Chamber.
Rhea Ripley would be a great choice, of course.
Rhea Ripley, yeah, fine.
Yeah, the Elimination Chamber, man, is that a fucking hat on a hat or what? I mean, why is that thing not the lead up to SummerSlam? It goes, right? We get another gimmick match going into Mania. Like, I mean, I adore the Elimination Chamber, but like,
what they should do is switch Elimination Chamber and Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank should be a thing that you can win going into WrestleMania.
Sure.
I like Money in the Bank when it was a match at Mania.
I like that too.
I'll
tell you what. You know what that equates to me? You really can't go wrong with Money in the Bank. You put that anytime, anywhere. It's always a great time. Props to Chris Jericho. Just one of the biggest fucking geniuses in the biz. What a wrestling mind. What a talent. What an idol.
Political strategist.
Incredible.
Great spreader of disinformation. You gotta love it. You gotta love the guy.
What do we think of the Sammy? Hey!
Teased us there, Dan. You swerved us.
I was queuing Skylar up for his point. I was like, I'll stop it right there because he was going. And it timed perfectly because you were like, what do you think about Sammy?
Yeah. What do we think about Sammy and the conspiracy theories? What do we think about this whole thing?
It sounds like you're not into it.
No, I don't know. The jury's out. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy theorists in the world right now, especially in the US. Shout out to my man Q. So I feel.
Q's a patron.
So I feel like it's kind of like it's very typical wrestling to like do something that's topical and wrestling it. And I think Sami Zayn's the right person for it. I think it works.
I'm into it. I like I want Nia Jax and Sami to work together because she's a real conspiracy theorist.
I told you guys. I said it on the Cow Zoom. You guys are thinking too small. I think Nia Jax is Q.
Yeah,
and I think that's the gimmick.
She's
not like
that.
Most girls.
She's not. We've known that for years.
No. She's not like most girls. I sat next to – I was in a comedy – I told you when I did my set at – me and Ziggler did a show – well, Ziggler did a show that I did a set on. Let's be clear here, okay? Mm-hmm. At – in Phoenix. and Nia Jax. It was after she got was in the men's Rumble. Remember that?
Yeah, and she took the RKO. She took a RKO from Randy.
Yeah. You could tell it was like the night of her life. It's cool when you see wrestlers after and you're like, oh, they didn't win. It's one of the beauties of wrestling. It's like you don't need to win, you know? You got to have just like a big night, you know?
Have a moment.
Like Rhea Ripley had like a big night, but she lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Nia being in that men's Rumble is a huge nod for her, huge feather in the cap. That's a real big life moment, so I'm
like,
very happy
for her. She
was
just watching the show and like downing nachos, and you could see like this was – she was just fucking like on cloud nine from a losing night. You know,
she was on cloud notch.
She was on cloud. She was a top notch. Anyway, the crunch was a little loud for me during my set, but you know that's neither here nor there. Mm. Let's talk about quickly about notable. I guess I don't know. Let's call them swerves, but like Daniel Bryan didn't even have a great showing tonight. Like, not only did he not win, it was fine, right? He didn't even do much. I remember. Everyone was positive he was going to win.
You told me that he was the Vegas favorite. So I was like, okay, I guess this Rumble's going to suck. I don't know. I mean, this guy's going to have a tombstone. There's going to be two things on it. The letter B and a plus. That's what's up. And we're all going to know who we're talking about.
Yeah. You hate Daniel Bryan. So
no, much. I don't hate him. I think he's incredible because B plus is a fucking phenomenal grade. Yeah. But that's what he is.
You sound
phenomenal. Like,
phenomenal. So you think, oh, you're going to move the title off Asuka. Yeah, I just want to talk about Asuka for a second. This is what I wanted to say, is my struggles with Asuka is like, why is no one coaching her properly? That's my things with her, is that like with these segments. But do you want to see any match of Asuka for Mania this year?
You should have put her with Heyman years ago. Sorry, back to your question. Yeah. You should have given her a mouthpiece. They should have. Could you imagine a Don Callis vibe with her, like something like that?
I'd put Callis with anybody, though. By the way,
Callis is. We all know Don Callis is one of my guys, but I would say why not dust off Mr. Fuji?
Dust him off. I mean, he's in the drawer. He's been in the drawer for a while.
He might be dead. I have no idea.
He died like 3 years ago.
She was around 5 years ago.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bianca specifically, because I'm a big fan of Bianca. I don't think she's entirely ready, which is the beauty of the move. Right.
That's
I
mean? Yeah, that's the
fun. That's the fun of it. But for her to rise to this occasion, I hope they get her some good writing. Like, she can't just be like, I'm the EST, I'm the EST, I'm the EST. That's not a thing.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, if it's like, I'm the legit boss, I'm the EST, but I'm boss time. Mine's EST time. I give it like, it's like a little bit like anything you could do, I could do cooler. And I don't want to, I don't know if that's enough for me.
Right.
They might be able to pull it off. There's a world in which that is interesting, where they're like, you're just a younger up and coming version of me. Like, you think you're this, but I was that in NXT also. Like, maybe there's something there, but it's not the most, you know, nitro boosted, amazing writing. But I don't know. Look, I've seen things that write themselves fall flat on their face, and I've seen feuds that sound like shit jump somehow work. So nothing really surprises me.
Remember the Rollins?
So we got a lot of UFC. Oh, sorry.
Rollins Ambrose blood feud that like on paper was supposed to be incredible, and then ended up being,
oh my god, terrible.
Dean Ambrose getting like comical injections,
the gas mask,
and then getting those. Remember that like ridiculous prop shot that he was getting? He's like, this is all you people in Indianapolis.
He was like, does it smell in here? That was literally his gimmick.
It was terrible.
He should have been a sommelier. He had a very strong sense of smell. Is that what that is? Is that what sommeliers do?
Nope.
But here's the thing about Bianca, okay? Bianca wins the Rumble, shoot crying, right? Then WWE posted a picture of her backstage, a video of her hugging Montez, completely upset, completely emotional about it. So.
Really upset.
She's really, I don't know why she was really upset. Imagine I didn't understand crying. Yo, she was just, I don't know why she was really upset about.
She was crying after she won. I don't know. I guess she got upset.
That's probably the cutest thing a kid could say to you, like a 2-year-old kid. Totally. Like, why is she upset? Like, you know, that's gotta be so fucking adorable. But but
kids are saying, fucking cute. Anyway, keep going.
Yo, kids are so fucking cute. oh man, I hope that's not a sound drop. no, but. So that's fine. I'm not knocking the fact that she'd be emotional about a real milestone in her life. Not the problem. The situation is that that is kayfabe now, right? It's kayfabe that you won and it was a big moment for you. But you're also like, I'm the EST. I'm the best. I got attitude. I got that. And then you have Sasha, who's also like, I'm the legit boss. And her gimmick is a little unclear as well, right? Like, we're saying that. So I don't know. It's like, I would have a hard time thinking about how to tell this story. I'd have to really think about it, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah,
like, the Roman Edge one kind of writes itself for me, you know? I don't know.
Exactly.
And Drew Brock, that writes itself.
I have a question for you. Wait, so what is your beef with her crying?
It's not beef. It's like, okay, you have two options. You got Chael Sonnen wins the match immediately. He just goes, Anderson Silva, yeah, you fucking suck, right?
Yeah, you're a piece of trash. Like, yeah, you're awful. Yeah.
Right? And that's how you win a match. You know what
I mean? I think you absolutely suck. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then you're like, wow, a story told immediately from that moment just because he went immediately into kayfabe. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So, like, obviously he's more of a heel persona in UFC, but, like, when you win that and then you are, like, emotional about it, then you're now telling a story of being, like, an underdog, and I guess then you have to build up the fact that Sasha is this, she's more seasoned. It works.
I disagree with your take here. Yeah. I don't think that those things are mutually exclusive. I don't think that
I'm thinking
can't
out loud. I'm doing the math, you know?
I'm just saying, I think that you can be this badass fucking motherfucker right, and think you're the best. She's also kind of a young talent in the game, right? So, like, to then get it validated is hugely emotional. Like, when you see actual, like, young gunner, hotshot, like, the best in the world in their first achievement, like Michael Jordan winning his first NBA title, right? Like, that dude's on the floor in the fetal position crying because he's like, I knew I fucking was, but now it's like, now it is. Like, I was saying it forever and I believed it, and now it's happening.
I guess
and
what
like,
I'm saying is Sasha the Mountain enough, you know?
You honestly don't think that Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks at WrestleMania will be a fucking incredible match? Like, honestly, like, just take a second to think about it. Close your eyes for 3 seconds and think about Bianca.
One second or 3 seconds, Tulo. You said, think about it for one,
Sasha
close your
Banks,
eyes for three.
WrestleMania on the main stage. You don't think they would put on one of the most incredible performances? Like, honestly,
I think the match will be okay. Yeah. I'll be really pumped
like,
for the lead up.
Just okay. Like,
yeah, be just okay. But the lead up matters more to me than the match.
And I think the lead up will be dope.
That
someone who's just come from The Mandalorian and giving a DDT to Boba Fett, spoiler alert, and then this incredible prospect that just won the Royal Rumble can't put on this beautiful story in 2 months to lead up to WrestleMania.
I don't have full faith in that, Nick.
Yeah, none of those add up. You just rattle off stats as they come. It's in a coherent point there. I don't think Skylar, you take it away.
No, I'm just saying, like, Sasha's not the best promo. She's hit or miss.
That's my point. And that's what I meant to say, Skylar. I'm sorry. So Bianca is going to kind of shoot from the hip, which puts a lot of kayfabe pressure on Sasha. You right? Yes. So that's what I'm saying. And she's not great at it.
Oh, stop. You know what? I'm sick and tired of it. Honestly, I'm getting tired of it. I'm tired. I'm getting
guys, Tulo is very tired. Tulo's
sick and tired of this almost great talent bullshit rhetoric shit that you keep spewing at
Sasha.
Sasha's
one of my guys.
She is. Oh, stop. Please. Please.
Oh, good.
Almost great talent is not one of your guys because she gave Boba Fett a DDT and Mandalorian. All right, bro. I know that's why you made her one of your guys. You don't think she's good enough to fucking main event WrestleMania? And guess what, bro? She is. And guess what? Bianca Belair is too. And if they wanted to tell a story in the next 2 months, the fucking main event WrestleMania, they could. You guys are so fucking out of the loop with this shit. It's insane. It's insane. This almost great time. You just said she's.
All right. Hey, buddy, you're literally just on a loop right now of just yelling the same thing seven times in a row.
We just said Sasha Banks, one of my guys.
I don't even, honestly.
I like Sasha. Why can't it be critical? It's just constructive feedback. I like a ton of people that I give them feedback to.
I don't even know. I don't even know what the argument is about. I don't know what dance know point was.
Last question from a pure pro.
Skyler agreed with my point. No.
Yeah, I said completely. And this isn't to say that I'm not like hopeful for a great Sasha versus Bianca Belair matchup at Mania. I hope it's great, but I personally like have a little bit more faith in the lead up skills. Not even that I want to see this match more, but in the lead up skills of a Charlotte type of person with a Bianca. If Bianca's like, I just think Charlotte's a better promo. But
well,
I also,
Bianca Charlotte is more. I think Charlotte is more of someone to beat for Bianca. Like that's a bigger
Sasha's
mountain.
Time, Sasha.
Sasha's not a mountain talent to me, right?
Charlotte. Well, look, Charlotte is now. Charlotte is
after this year.
Even if Sasha is 1-2, right. No one is Charlotte. Charlotte is a singular entity in the pantheon. Like it is Charlotte Flair,
the most present set of any girl.
100%. And like Becky is the man, and Ronda was Ronda, but she's maybe never coming back. Hopefully, yes. But Charlotte is the guy.
I agree.
So. I know what you guys are saying, but having said that, I think Bianca is ready to main event WrestleMania and I'm excited for it, but we can all agree something about her feels like this is a little bit of a reach and a stretch, but we like it. We're glad we're reaching and stretching. Let's push her. But something about it feels like, yo, she's not ready to beat Charlotte at WrestleMania. That's like a big reach. I could see her beat Sasha at WrestleMania.
Well, that's why that's the same thing as Rhea last year, which is like, is she really going to beat Charlotte? Like, she seems like the person who could do it, but is this how we're doing it? You know what I mean?
And the answer is no.
Right. But now, you know, we might see them go again this year. Who knows?
And maybe it'll be yes. That'd be cool. I mean, you know how I feel about Asuka. I mean, she's.
Well, we just have to clarify. Like, it's not being negative to just say. Oh, I'm concerned about this or that. Like, I'm positive about what the choices that are happening. I think Sasha's awesome. I think Bianca's awesome. We're talking about being vested. I think Roman's awesome, and I think Kevin Owens is awesome. But something wasn't clicking about this feud, right? It wasn't totally working.
Here's what's going on. You're having a wrestling podcast right now, and you're just talking about wrestling. And that's okay. That's great. And Nick, the Super Mark Tulo,
he's
so positive about every single wrestler. He was called out on the Cal Zoom. They're like, wow, you love every wrestler.
Can we talk about that moment?
No, 1 second. And that's well and good. It's great to love every wrestler. That's fine. But then when he gets pissed drunk, that positive love turns into a negative attack on any criticism of any wrestler. It's like he's going to be like, you are a monster, man. Like, what are you even saying? So it's really just the drunk side of his positivity right now. Dan, all you're doing is having a good wrestling podcast where you talk wrestling. That's all you're guilty of.
I can't take it anymore. I can't take this anymore.
Yo, Tulo, the only part you haven't seen his like, oh, fuck, what's my... He's been doing like that Kristen Wiig character who can't keep a secret. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like if you're watching the video, Shebs will be going on a rant. And Tulo's taking his headphones off to be like, I can't even hear this. Like,
he's wiping the sweat off his brow.
We got to talk about the markiest moment, maybe in all of wrestling history that I've ever
Cow history. Do you have the drop yet or no?
What? No, I don't have the drop.
Okay, yet. Okay.
I don't have the drop yet because it was literally rendering as we were recording this.
Okay,
but we're watching the Women's Rumble and we're like all counting down and having fun. Be like, who's gonna come in next? You know, the classic fun of the Royal Rumble. And then Tori Wilson comes out. They're like, it's still number 11. It's Tori Wilson. And everyone's, you know, appropriate response is like, all right, it's Tori Wilson. And then Tilo just goes, Tori Wilson, let's go.
He loved it. He loved it. You wonder why he loved
it? Genuine. He's like, oh, Tori, look at her. She looks great. It's Tori, baby.
But do you know why he loved it? What? Because she's a wrestler. And anything that is wrestler, any wrestler, he's just fucking pumped, man. You're a wrestler? You're doing great work. Oh, yo, Tori Wilson is doing the best work of her career right now because she's a wrestler. And that's what wrestlers do, the best work ever.
You're telling me you don't want to see Tori Wilson versus Sasha Banks at Mania? Hey, here's a question for you guys. Here's a question for you, Jabrons.
Yeah.
Whether or not this happens from Charlotte taking the belt off Asuka, or Charlotte, I don't know, winning the chamber and randomly challenging.
Right.
Would you want to see a triple threat between Charlotte, Sasha, and Bianca at Mania? Even if she doesn't beat Asuka, Asuka could actually go to Mania with Alexa, and there could be two female. But they'd love a female triple threat at Mania. And you could still have Bianca go over Sasha if you want Bianca to go over. Or do you want...
You got to be careful about just injecting Charlotte. You know?
Tends to happen, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you can't go wrong, right? I mean, as a guy who, like, that match, I think could be incredible, right? Like, just the three of those talents in the ring, that would be great. That would be fantastic. But what triple threats have we had, Charlotte, like female triple threats at Mania? We had Charlotte, Becky, Ronda, yeah, right? What other Charlotte triple threats have we had so far?
Yeah, you had, so we had at WrestleMania 32, yeah, it was Becky, Sasha, Charlotte.
Right.
And then the next year it was the same, but with Nia, I believe.
Really?
Maybe not. Maybe. It could be. No, I think Becky wasn't in it. I think it was Nia, Bailey, Charlotte, and who am I forgetting? Sasha. I forgot who I said.
All right. So maybe we don't know. So she's been in multiple triple threats, right? Yeah. I do know that they do love a female triple threat. And honestly, there's been some great match moments in those. But I will say that who's the one who winds up? I think it's actually Becky. I have a bad knock on one of them that, like, they don't nail the triple threat spots in those big WrestleMania matches.
No, the Becky finish was awful, actually. People don't remember, but it was.
It wasn't even a pin.
No, right. We were like, what happened? Did Becky just pin?
I think my memory is, like, when Becky's in those triple threat big matches, like, they're cool. They're pretty good, but, like, they're just not super smooth, super clicking, like, just not hitting. And I think they might need to drop that shit already. Like, let them go one-on-one. As much as I think
Charlotte Becky had incredible one-on-one matches, if you remember.
Sure. Tulo, you and me were at Evolution. We went in Nassau Coliseum. It tore the house down. Some of the biggest pops I've ever heard was Becky pop at Evolution.
Ever. That entrance at Evolution was insane for Becky. It was truly.
It was amazing. It was great. You love to see it. So, I mean, I feel like, you know what we're not even talking about, though?
What?
Is Becky coming back for Mania?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Definitely no?
Okay. I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, I said it before.
I see her coming back at SummerSlam.
Look, she is the man.
She's cleared and she wants to come back and she's ready to come back.
I think she's going to do it because John Cena, they told him it was 6 months for that shoulder injury and he came back in three, bro, and he fucking shocked us all and won a Rumble. And
I'm not going to pretend to understand what she's going through. But yeah.
I don't understand. Look, hey, buddy. I'm not going to pretend to know what Cena was going through with his shoulder surgery, okay? I haven't birthed a kid, and I haven't had reconstructive surgery on a shoulder. They're both from...
This is him. They play this for Cena when he's going under for surgery. They play this the whole shoulder surgery.
Could you have this go into the Becky Lynch cover?
What?
Could you have that then go into the Becky Lynch cover?
Oh, you love it.
Oh, please don't play that cover.
You guys ready for it?
I hate it.
I don't think I have it.
Thank God.
Welcome to 94.8, the radio station that gives you all the mediocre covers and important lessons on weather. Stay tuned for more. Becky Lynch.
Everybody, I hope you're having a nice drive to work
this morning. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's J-E double F J-A double R-E double T. Did I do it right?
I think you hit all the letters, but the rhythm was so tough.
It should have been J-A, right? I did
J-A. J-A. No, it's J-E. Why are you? It's J-E.
It's Jeff.
Double F. Jeff Jarrett.
I said Jeff Jarrett.
Look. Quick tangent. That guy, someone needs to bring back that style of shirt. That shirt. I mean, put AJ in one of those. It'd be fantastic.
I know. So the other thing I just want to say quickly about Bianca Belair, she is one of the people always like, this person's a sick athlete. It's thrown out a lot. And I frankly don't give a shit if you're athletic or not. People always like, this guy's a real athlete. I'm like, but do they do cool wrestling shit? Like, I don't care if they can wrestle or not. Sometimes not being an athlete's cooler because you fall weirder and it's more fun. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's CM Punk.
But Bianca Belair is an extraordinary athlete. Is crazy strong. And like she Jealous. Could, I think she could do some amazing, amazing shit. So if you think about Charlotte, what she brings to the table besides just everything, she also will bust out a corkscrew moonsault, right?
Well, like,
I think Bianca has some stuff in the tank that we haven't even seen yet. Like, she's someone I believe in that capacity.
Do you know? Think? Do you think that she's on the level? Will she bring you Kalisto toolbox? Like, remember when Kalisto would every week just bust out a new move that you've never seen anyone do ever, and he would do like one
that's
a month.
Lucha. That's Lucha.
No, but Kalisto specifically was like, I'm not showing these gringos shit. And then like every month he'd come out and do like a fucking like a 980 backflip. And you'd be like, what? This is a Tuesday, bro. We don't even.
Kalisto's a good. By the way, if Kalisto, if Dominic, you know what I'm going to say? It's like, yo, Dominic's in this Rumble. He literally at one point is in the Rumble, okay?
Tulo's loving it. Tulo's saying like, wow, one of my guys, love him. This guy's incredible.
Tulo. He's flipping out. He's flipping out. Yo, Tulo, I just want to say this. Dominic's in the Rumble. At one point, I took like a step back and I looked at the ring and it was like, who the fuck was in there? It was Edge.
Orton.
Yeah. Yeah, like Edge, Orton, Christian. Like, all these guys are fucking tanned to the nines, jacked up. Ziggler, Kane, right? And I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is a make-a-wish kid. Like, this is a kid. This is like, you cannot believe this guy. And it's not like he's like 16. He's like 24. You know, yeah. I was more jacked than that at 24.
He just doesn't belong there.
And he doesn't do anything. He doesn't have a cool move. He's not. I'm sorry. I'm so not a fan of Dominic Mysterio. Then his dad shows up wearing his shirt. He's wearing a Dominic shirt. And I was like, this is like your dad shows up to your party. And you're like, Dad, get the fuck out of here. You ain't wearing my shirt. Like, yes, son. I just love you so much, son. I want to support your shirt.
But let me tell you something. I think
even book it to give them a fucking moment together in Royal Rumble. Like, they couldn't even make it
oh my
make
God.
Sense.
Shep, this is more like, sorry, too loud. I'm cutting you up, but I'll come right back to you. Shep, this is more like Doug from the state. It's more like I'm out of here.
Right.
Well, his dad is so much cooler.
That's what I was gonna say. It wasn't like he was like, Dad, get lost. This is my part.
It's
he's like
everyone wants to hang out with your dad and not.
He's
you.
Like guys. He's like guys. My dad is here, bro. How cool is that? Like it's just he came in and was like he's just trying to get his son over, you know. And like the son actually had no reaction. He's not like happy about it or sad about it. He's just on the floor trying to figure out like, all right, I'm supposed to go to the right ring post now, or I don't know. Here's what I wanted to say.
Want to throw back to Tulo. Sorry, Tulo. I interrupted you rudely, Tulo. Would you like to defend Dominic Mysterio? I love your defense of Dominic Mysterio. It's one of my favorite Tulo, my Tulo-isms. Tell them what your biggest defense of Dominic Mysterio is. Tell them why you love Dominic Mysterio so much. He can't even do it. I mean, wow! This is. I mean,
can I? I have something very important.
Back to Shams. What
you saying? I have something very
first
important
all,
to say.
First of
no
all,
one.
First of
no,
all.
You missed your window. I have something very important to say.
I gave
you
my window.
I gave you 15 seconds to speak. This is an audio medium.
I actually have.
All of a sudden, when I was ready to do it, fucking before now.
Well, what do you need an invitation?
I mean, this.
No, were you valet parking?
We're going so off the rails with this guy. He's got to sober up. Hit the black coffee button. We can't let this madman run the show. We got a show to do.
I haven't said anything in fucking 10 minutes. You guys have been fucking
Jebs, let him talk about why.
Are you for real? You're
why Dominic Mysterio rules. It's really.
Dan, it's your show. You let it
happen. Yeah, I need it. I need it. Tulo, why is Dominic Mysterio so good?
That's it, man. The guys, I mean.
All right. Awesome.
What else do you need?
What else have you said?
Getting hit by kendo sticks. Great match with Seth at at SummerSlam. Now he's in the Royal Rumble. What else do you want, man?
A thing Mysterio is because he's there.
One of the reasons why he had a good Rumble. Commute this guy. One of the reasons you just said. First of all, you said. Dominic Cruz, why is he one of my guys? Dan, mute him, please. You got to mute him so I could talk. Okay. And then he goes, my reason for liking Dominic Mysterio?
You guys bringing my COVID back.
My reason for liking Dominic Mysterio? I mean, what else do I need to say? All right, that's not a reason. And then it's like, yo, why did he have a good Rumble? Well, He got hit by a kendo stick. He was in the Royal Rumble. Those are not qualifications for what's. Look, we got to keep moving, okay? I have something actually important to add to the Mysterio Clan conversation.
Okay.
It was glossed over in the Cal Thunderdome. You guys tell me if this. I don't know why none of you people clocked this, okay? I'm a little. No one cared. Rey Mysterio entered that Rumble with an advertisement for Victoria Beer on his fucking forehead. And then they showed a graphic of Victoria Beer on the screen. And we're like, this Lucha Libre Superstar is brought to you by Victoria Beer. Did no one catch that?
No, I didn't see that. Did you see that?
I kept saying, why is Rey Mysterio's mask sponsored? And no one knew what I was talking about.
I kept saying it.
No one cared. I promise you guys, go back and watch. For no fucking reason, slash in a very surreal, bizarre the guy comes out and has a stupid logo on his fucking head. And then the announcers start talking about Victoria Beer.
It's a sponsor. I don't know. What?
That actually is a problem. I don't want guys coming in and then we like cut promo, like ad breaks on their fucking helmets.
That's it's the Dominic Mysterio influence, man. That's what
Brock Lesnar is. Jimmy John's on
the head. Yo,
Mute Tula. Don't unmute Tula. You got to keep this guy muted because Skyler's bringing up a good point.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar did. Skyler, bro.
Skyler has the because I thought, yeah, well, look, Brock Lesnar had the Jimmy John's. Yeah. Okay, fine. The difference here is this. Brock Lesnar was coming from the UFC where he had sponsorship deals in place with Jimmy John's because it was common back then for UFC fighters to have sponsorship on their trunks. And he worked it into his return to WWE that like, hey, I'm going to keep these on. And we all got it. And if anything, it added some little credibility of like, oh, he's a UFC guy because they do that. And at no point did Michael Cole ever start going, Jimmy John's sandwiches, they're good to the last John. Like, we didn't make it part of the content. It's just, we just accepted it. This was a brand new beer sponsorship on Rey Mysterio's dome piece, and it was fucking weird.
Southern New Hampshire University.
Oh my god, that's my favorite sponsor.
Monday Night Raw is presented by Southern New Hampshire University.
People, if you're looking, people are all looking for a good college. Southern New Hampshire University. I mean, any other like standout moments from the Rumble? This year, we were saying a lot of people were criticizing this thing of like, if your feet don't touch the ground, it's fine. Even if your whole body is out, if your whole back is on the floor.
Rumble? Was Kofi in the Rumble this year?
No,
it's not clear.
Still hurt.
They talked about it on screen. He said, hey, I'm not cleared, but I'm still wearing fresh gear with my bros.
Yeah, I love Kofi.
Yeah, no feet on the floor is Jabron.
It's a little. It fucks the whole thing sucks. Is that the whole game of the Rumble is the floor is lava, right? So it's not like the floor is a lava only to your feet,
you know, right?
Right.
They just need to re-clarify the rules because if a guy gets launched out and then like lands on his one hand and does like a cartwheel onto the announce table and then cartwheels back, I'd be like, that's fine. But when you're like laying fully on your back like a turtle, I'm not like, yo, it's not like a holy shit, this guy deserves to get back in the ring right now.
It's 1 foot and everything else counts as 2 feet. That's it. You're allowed 1 foot to touch the ground at all times, but anything else, if you touch the ground, that's it. Game over.
All right. Game over.
All right, game over.
You guys heard it here first.
We didn't get any, though. We didn't get any. I mean, we got a Naomi return, which is great, but we didn't get the Naomi spot, the Kofi spot. We didn't get the Katie Cannizzaro spot.
What we had is a Bianca Belair and Naomi both being on the almost eliminated, and then Naomi climbed up Bianca's hair to get back to like almost in the ring, and then they both did some hardcore core. Flexing to like prop themselves up, and then for no reason that I could explain, like in a physics standpoint, they had to hold hands to then pull. They like agreed, like we're gonna leverage each other, which doesn't make sense to like both get in the ring. And I guess that was this year's spot like that, but it was kind of weird, you know.
That was not remotely impressive or necessary.
Yeah, it was just weird.
Not the elastic ropes.
Yeah, for sure.
A little bummed of Ziggler getting eliminated by Kane.
Oh, man. I can't. Kane.
But because Kane's not even a wrestler there anymore, but I guess he's still like the Rumble is his match, right?
The Rumble's his match. And I got to tell you, I'm actually pretty – it'll never sit well with me that Roman took that title away as like the guy who's eliminated the most people. I'm glad that Brock did it, but I hated that – like Kane's not even on the top three anymore.
Right. Yo, anyway, last thing we'll talk about here is
– Wrong. I got three things.
Okay.
And I am
three more things. One of the last things we'll talk about is what does it mean if an NXT talent was in a Rumble? Like
nothing. No consistency. No, nothing.
But like Rhea's probably up, right? I think Rhea and Damian Priest, if I had to guess, are now on main roster.
I hope so. But yeah, there's no sometimes they just pop up for the night. Sometimes they go home. Is Christian Cage back? Probably not. That's probably a one night only. Yeah. NXT, sometimes they stick. Sometimes they go back. We don't know. But that brings up one of the things I wanted to talk about was Damian Priest. Because I think he had a great, great Rumble.
Archer of yesteryear.
Whatever you want to call him. I mean, for me, he's always going to be Punishment Martinez. I think he just killed it. Like, the outfit was on fleek, as the kids said 3 years ago. Yeah. He looked like $1 million. They let him, like, really dominate in there and crush for a little bit.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
I thought they were letting him put together quite a streak. He must have eliminated four or five people. Like, he had a pretty good – I thought they were going to put him on, like, a – you know – I don't know. I thought he was going to give Kane a run. Like he was clocking him for a while.
He always irked me. He still had bow and arrows on his trunks, which is always
annoying. They need to give me one night with this guy, one night alone in a closet with this guy. I'll straighten him out real good. You got to simplify the gimmick. You got to make it just go back to Punishment Martinez. You got to lose the archery, lean more into the rocker. You could be like a spooky rocker who just is cool guy. That's fine. But you add an iron.
Spooky rocker.
He's like a Marilyn Manson type without the contacts. Punishment Martinez is an infinitely cooler name. The South of Hell chokeslam is an infinitely cooler move for him. Like, there's just so much little tweaking that could be done to make this guy an absolute automatic IC title contender.
I think Vince will do better for him than NXT did.
I might have to step in there.
He's going to be known as Damian.
Yeah.
Or the priest.
Or the priest, which I'm really hoping they go with.
They give him a priest gimmick. That'd be great. They could step into the confession booth and then he locks you in and he shoots bow and arrows in those little holes.
Absolutely. I don't know. Absolutely.
What were the other two things, Jebs?
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about is because if you guys remember, this podcast started with Tulo just drunkenly hijacking our – we barely talk about the Men's Rumble as an entity. And I think we talk about Edge a little, but I think we need to just dive a little bit further into what we saw tonight from Edge.
Yeah.
Because he entered at number one.
One.
And then won the Rumble. And that is such an anomaly.
I think Mysterio's done it.
No, Mysterio came in at two.
Number two.
HBK
obviously did it.
HBK did it in 1995. Then, do you guys know who the other guy was? I don't think you'll ever be able to guess, actually.
Is it not Stone Cold? McMahon?
It's not Big John Studd. It's not Stone Cold.
It's not McMahon randomly.
McMahon. I think he won it at number two also, but he got a lot of help from his friends, obviously. I'll tell you who it was. And the reason they don't even bring this stat up is because it's he who should not be named. It's Chris Benoit.
Wow.
Chris Benoit won the Rumble 2004 en route to
I was trying to think of what his nickname is, and in my head it was the Crispy Wolverine.
It's just the Wolverine.
What is it?
I think the
Crippler.
The Crippler.
The Crossface Crippler.
But he was also known
not
as a Wolverine.
Crispy Wolverine.
At some point, he was a Wolverine. At some point, I promise you. Maybe in WCW. I was never one of my guys. I didn't like his look.
Never one of my guys. Like, never.
Little stumpy, and it always looked like his mouth.
A little too much of a Jannetty toy.
Honestly, he was too much of a Jannetty toy. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about the golden,
they know.
90s wrestling. Okay, you guys get it. And also, weirdly, if he ever was screaming, the inside of his mouth kind of looked like it was blue or green. Like, it was strange.
Warrior toy.
And then also, another thing I didn't like about Benoit is, to this day, I don't really like the Crossface Crippler as a finisher because I don't really see the point of your body being hurt by it. It's like a light hold on your neck and a not arm bar.
You're like way more of a stickler for than I am.
I need it to look like you're hurting me. I can't just have like a nonsense, like whatever. Anyway, the point is he won at number one at 24, in 2004, which was en route to him winning at Mania 30 with him and Eddie both having like the beautiful confetti hug. And it's one of the biggest moments, probably.
20, right?
Sorry, 20, 20, yeah. 20. Sorry, yes, 20. But
oh,
but
20
that's
was a great match for my guy.
The crossface haggler. So anyway, I just want to say that Edge winning at number one is truly a feat to be recognized. And it's just awesome, man. I think it was just such a great performance by Edge tonight. I really did love it.
Well, how much do you think this Rumble was hurt by the lack of actual crowd?
I mean, it was hurt a lot, but I thought it was a good Rumble.
Yeah, I think they did it. I think they did like a nice job. I only felt it at the end when Edge won. The Bianca one felt good. But then when Edge won, I was like, yo, people would have been going insane that Edge won.
Yeah.
And he had to do a lot of selling. He had to do a lot of like, ah, like he was clearly in the ring with no one around him.
But what I will say about Edge, and you guys called it good acting earlier, I think when you see Bray Wyatt, what he's doing is much more feels like the craft of acting to me.
Right.
I think what Edge is doing is also an important part of acting. Is that he taps into the passion. Like he's full passion, full emotional connection to his true self, which is like the biggest wrestling mark ever. So I think it's not hard for him to dig down to sell that hard for that moment. Like he is still on fire in his head about winning a Rumble. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think there's any part of him that's like, yo, I'm 46. Should I be winning these Rumbles? Should I be taking these wins away from some of these other guys?
No. God, look, he knows the business enough to know. This is not Ric Flair being 55 with a title run. This is not the good old boys in WCW crushing the younger talent like Jericho by taking their spots and keeping the main events boring and old. Edge as a Rumble winner is honestly the single most exciting male Rumble winner there can be this year. That is a done deal. Most incredible booking we got. Why not do it? It's not taking a spot. It'd be taking a spot if they cavalierly just gave it to some young gunner to be like, we're breaking new talent. Go fuck yourself. Edge.
So do we see his last? I imagine he does no wrestling until WrestleMania, right? Mm-hmm. That'd be smart. And then is that probably his last match ever? It's got to be because what's the point of going past that?
I don't know. I think Edge.
And he gets to go out on his back, which he never did.
If he never got to go out on his back
to Roman, then.
No, but he needs to get the he's getting that title back one day before he's done. There's no question he's getting strapped up one more time.
Oh, you think he's going to beat
Roman? I don't know if he's beating Roman. I'm saying before he's done, he's going to get strapped up because he's fucking earned it and he wants it and they want to give it to him. And then before he's done, because he never got to, he's going to do the honors and he's going to lose that title to someone. Even, clean, center of the ring and then retire.
I think you're onto something because I think that it can't just be Edge wrestles an old dude and wins. Roman wrestles an old dude and wins every time. Why not have Edge fucking beat Roman? You can schmoz it a little if you need to.
I'm gonna beat Drew. Why are you going?
Or Drew? Roman? Fine. Too low. Or Drew. Drew. But I haven't. But I mean for Roman because Roman's beat. Think about his Rumbles. He's destroyed all the. He literally has. He is also the legend killer.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, he also is the legend. So I also could see that being cool, and then Edge and Roman go back, and then Roman could beat him at SummerSlam, right?
For sure. Look, yeah. I don't know that Edge is going to beat him at Mania. I don't know what's going on. All I'm going to commit to is what I've said explicitly, that Edge is going to get one more strap around his waist. He's going to get the big prize. He's going to get that title, whether it be Universal or WWE. He's going to get that run and he's going to lose it clean and go out on his back like a fucking man because he deserves that respect and he wants to give that respect to the business. And he's going to do it.
The first time he retired, he was like, I'm just going to go out winning.
That was probably not his call, to be honest. That probably was not his call.
Probably Vince was like, I'm not giving Del Rio the title.
That's let me tell you something. There's no way that Edge would not want to do whatever the company said the booking is.
Because that's when Del Rio won the Rumble, right? His debut was the greatest Royal Rumble. Is that same year?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yo, and I think it was. And so they opened the night. They opened that Mania, Edge versus Del Rio. And Del Rio, it's like, hey, we'll demand with the Rumble. And then we have to also give him a win at Mania.
Yeah, you are right. You're right. Much. You're right. Del Rio won the Rumble. He won was 2011, which was
9, right?
2011.
I'm sorry.
Because Edge won in 2010, became champ.
Del Rio won Rumble.
Right. Del Rio. Well, it was at the time. It was the greatest Royal Rumble at the time. But since there has been the greatest Royal Rumble, which yeah. was even greater. But so Edge won, wasn't in that Rumble the year he retired because he was champion. Del Rio won as his debut. And then they weren't going to have him beat Edge at Mania. That just wasn't going to happen. And so it wasn't up. Edge is not that selfish guy. He's not Hogan or Shawn Michaels right. or one of those fucks. He's not one of those fucking guys. Those who fucks. I have very little respect for because of their selfishness for the business. No one's bigger than the business. And no one knows that more than guys like Edge. I got full respect for Edge. He was probably begging Vince McMahon to let him lose that belt. He's like, I'm injured. I'm going out. I got to do the honors. And Vince was like, we're not doing it, pal. This is what the ruling is.
I believe that to be true.
I know that to be true in my heart.
We're wrapping up here. We're wrapping
I said
up.
I got 3 points. I got one more point.
All right, do it.
It's a pivot. I was saying it to you before I jumped on. That Goldberg McIntyre match.
We
gotta at least mention it, right? What do we think?
It was a mess.
It was a mess.
I couldn't Goldberg, even follow it. I couldn't Goldberg, even follow it.
Goldberg showed up, and first I'm like, this guy looks like $1 million. And then I squinted. I'm like, wait, this guy does not look like $1 million right now. but his like 500K is still like pretty rad. I love that his shorts get longer every time I see him. You know, like this guy started in a bikini. In 5 years, he's going to be wearing, you know, just rock.
If you watch him, Goldberg, if you watch WCW Goldberg, he was wearing like a lady's bikini bottom. Like, it was like so small.
A man after my own heart. I mean, the smaller the bathing suit, the closer to God, I say. Like, I love a tiny bathing suit. I'm wearing bikinis in Waikiki all the time. Anyway, it was what we thought it would be, which was just like finisher fest and whatever. Yeah. And that jackhammer was like, no bueno. No bueno jackhammer. It was bad news. We knew McIntyre was going to win, but here's what I want to focus on.
Yeah.
The whole feud felt like whatever. And the whole match didn't really do anything. I didn't hate it, but it was whatever. And their beef felt like, I don't care. Like, it's not that bad. And then they have the full manufactured respect exchange man hug. And I'm like, yo, this doesn't matter. There's no earn. Like, this isn't a real thing. They're clearly just like doing this to do
it. It's not like they try to treat it like Hogan Warrior.
Right. But it clearly wasn't that. But then I'm such a sucker for the respect of wrestling that then they do that. I'm like, this is such bullshit. And then 3 seconds in, I'm like, this is amazing. Look at these fucking guys, man. Look, they're holding each other's head. They're like, that's what it's all about. That's two men who know what it's like to do what they're doing. And just the full love, the full respect for the business. I love it, man. I'm so addicted to respect.
Okay, Shebs. Great. I'm glad you got that point out. Before we end here, I'm going to throw it over to Tulo. Tulo?
Yeah, that's the answer.
Tulo, what would you like to say? What would you like to be your final thought here for the pod?
Honestly, don't even know what this guy has said for the last fucking 10 minutes of this fucking podcast.
It's been literally 3,000 times more coherent than anything you've said all night.
All right, no, Skyler.
Well, here's what I'll say.
I have one last thing. Okay, Skyler, you go. I was going to ask you something, but you go. Go ahead.
And I'd like to actually, you know, answer whatever you have for me. But to talk about the Royal Rumble at large, like Shebs was saying, like, for me and Tulo, you might bump on this, but like, what's some constructive criticism? And I mean this because, like, you know, you have Richard O'Shea in the Rumble. I know. after losing a qualifying match, right? You have people announcing you have qualifying matches that don't matter. There's no structure. What's something that we could do away with? What's something that we could streamline? What's something, especially with fans in the building next year, that we can like really bring some order to this Royal Rumble? I know they have to promote it, so you have to have like a Chiron of 20-something guys. So it looks like a big, you know, weird, you know, grouping. I wish it was no one. I wish everyone was a surprise.
Well, like when they announced Edge and Orton number 1 and 2, you're like, why? Like, what do you really gain from that?
Nothing.
It doesn't get me. It just is like, it's like, I want to hear their music hit, and then that's it. Like, they did that with Bianca, and they did that kind of with the Bayley. Like, it was like, oh, Bianca and Bayley, like, they're both here now.
All right, you know? So think about Edge's win tonight, right? And think about how great it was. Can you imagine if it would have been what it would have been if you didn't know he was going to be the first entrant tonight?
Yeah. You think you know me.
Right.
Imagine that's just how it starts. And it's like, well, you did that last year. It's like, but it's first. He's winning. And it's new.
What I would say is this, is that you have a specific, I would love total structure. Like on Raw, it's like, or whatever, it's like, hey, Rumble slots are opening now. Management's choosing. And then you know kind of what the it's like a whole thing. Instead of just being, I declare they have a qualifier match, it's random.
I said, just make it make sense. Just make it make sense. The little bit of, the little bitness is all you have to do is just make it make sense. And they refuse to do it. Announcing these matches, Natalya as 30, it just makes no fucking
sense. What did that get? Right, so it was like, right. It was something to draw people to watch backstage is what they were thinking, right?
No one is extra is tuning in because you announced that Randy Orton and Edge are 1 and 2. There's no benefit to it. The only benefit you're getting is people watching along like we did tonight. And when Edge's music hits and it's 1, you're like, holy motherfucking shit, this is the coolest thing in the whole entire world. The only swerve we got tonight was that we thought Randy was 1, but Edge came at us.
I think they announced it backwards. Because they probably decided to have Edge win, because that's all like last the minute they are. Purposes. And they're like, it's cooler if he's won.
He's
right?
Coming out. He's won, right? He's won.
It's just cooler if he's won. Yeah, I mean, whatever. You know, I agree. Listen, Skyler, if it was me on the show, I would kick off the show and you would see the boardroom every time. Like, yeah. That's how much I like knowing what's going on. Like, Adam Pearce would be way more prominent being like, hey, this is what's going on here. You know, you don't have to kick off with every time, but show a match and then go to let's call it the writer's room, the boardroom, the booking room, the commission, whatever you want to call it. And you'd know what's happening in the ecosystem of wrestling. Like, here's what's on the docket. This is all right, Elimination Chamber is coming up. All right, people are going to start being like, I got to get in that fucking chamber, you know? So right. What is that? Logo then you'd be like, he's on a winning streak. It's like, hey, you're on a winning streak right now. We're thinking about putting you in the chamber. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. If you could rack up 2 more wins in the next 3 Raws, like, you're in, man. You got that 6th slot.
You would dig it. You'd care about every match, and that's something AEW does. They don't nail it, but it is an interesting thing when they come down in their records and you see it and you're like, I've had times in my head where I go like, wow, like MJF's having a killer year. Like I actually look at the records and I know because I don't have a track of it in my head. Or I'm like, when Cowboy was like slumping, you saw his record. You're like, oh, cool. But then if he turns it back around, it's believable because you see his record go up. You map it to what's grounded in reality, which is UFC. We've seen UFC fighters who like have kind of mediocre records. All of a sudden they're good. You know, they're like amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
they slap together a couple great wins, like 3 or 4 impressive wins, and sometimes even 2.
Right,
and in the case of Brock Lesnar, 1, and then you get a title shot.
Right,
it can happen. It can happen just that fast. And the problem is, though, I feel like we talk about this all the time with WWE, and they have made it very apparent that they will never retire that style of writing. Like they're not interested in giving you that. They just want to make it make zero sense all the time, and who cares?
Well, I don't even know if they even understand how to do it. Like, I think, like, you know, Shebs and I, we studied a sketch in improv comedy, and it's like beat into your head these rules. And right. I'm kind of like, I'm not even sure if Vince is even at this age aware of some of this basic tenets. I don't know, but he's amazing at some shit. He's a genius in the stuff he does. And I also think a big problem they have there, like we said, and you. Is like he tries to do everything. That all being said, you got to accept it for kind of like I kind of accept it for what it is. And this was a pretty good show tonight, I thought. It was fun. Bianca winning good. Edge winning sets up for a pretty exciting Mania. My main question, this goes to all you guys, is are you going to Mania? That's like now that question's real.
Listen, I personally think the best strategy for all of us, if we're going to go to Mania, we should do it together. We get a house, get a big fucking Mania house. We get tested. We go down there. We do our thing. We go to Mania. We come back. We do our thing.
He keeps saying this. I don't understand this logic.
On what universe would we all go to Mania not together? Like, we're all going to go and just not hang out?
That's what
like, guys, if we all go, we shouldn't, lose each other's numbers and never meet up or talk. We should just, if we're going to go, let's see each other.
If we all stay together.
Okay. Yeah, it would be, you know, cause we don't want to divide up. My thing with Mania is, you know, look, man, I'm not on the mainland. Okay. I'm on island right now. So for me to come back to that shithole that you guys call the contiguous 48 states, it's taxing on me mentally. It's also very difficult, and I don't want to jeopardize my lifestyle. And I'm out here, and I'm loving it. So for me to go back
every day of your life,
yeah. But for me to come there, I might not be able to get back in. It's very hard. So the prospect of going to Florida to be in a stadium that will have quoted 20,000 people in it, who I got to be honest, probably aren't the most concerned about COVID. If they're going to a stadium with 20,000 people in it, I don't need to go to Ray J Stadium. So it was kind of like, I don't break the pact though, right? If we're going to Mania, I'm not going to Mania. I'll be there. But if anyone can back out,
yeah,
I'm all for it. I don't need to be there unless I need
You'll
to be there.
You'll never be the guy who triggers the back out.
I can't be the back out. And we're lucky that we're friends with Arlen, because there's no way that little fucking wuss is going to go down to Florida. And all he has to do is fly for 2 hours. I got to fly for 12. You know what I mean? So if he backs out, I don't know if I'll go. But you know what? Look, it could be a great chance for me to give you a title shot that you deserve. All you got to do is firm up this business with your buddy Nick Tulo and your buddy Hassan and see who's actually the real number one contender. And then we'll talk.
All right. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Skylar, where are your levels at? I mean, you're working.
Where are you at on Mania? Is there any chance you? I mean, obviously, if you sing the Edge song, you're there. Obviously,
Yeah.
If I'm being employed by the WWE and I'm in their bubble, then yes, I'll probably go. Dipperstein's been like very adamant that we're going. I'm here in Canada till very late March. So I would have just been finishing, which I would think I'd probably go back to LA. But, you know, stranger things have happened. I am a WWE celebrity ambassador.
True. Oh, yeah. I mean,
if Adam Copeland calls you up and says, look, buddy, I need you giving me the crew. I'm going in there.
Driving down. I'm letting you guys know right now. I'm fucking driving.
Tulo, you are so drunk.
Oh, man, Tulo is going to drive down. He's going to drive down in this condition. All right. Well,
where are you at, Dan?
I go. I can't imagine I don't go to Mania, but also like, can I really go in that stadium? Like, can I really do that? But I've also survived COVID, so
I mean, Raymond James Stadium.
Together, we have to do it together.
A lot of people have been really fucked in the ass by Ray J before, and I just can't be another one to go down that way.
Okay. Last thing I'll say is we got to congratulate Peter Rosenberg on becoming a WWE champion. That's all it's saying. WWE champion. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, cheers up. I texted him. I said, congrats on being a WWE title holder. That's what I said.
Yeah.
And then I said, this is huge. I said, first ballot, as far as I'm concerned. He's like, I'm definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame.
It's crap.
Congratulations
no joke.
To Peter Rosenberg. Fucking, yo, that's sick. Winning any WWE title is sick.
Love it. Sick. Do we think, I think he may very well be able to get into that celebrity wing.
I can see Skyler taking that off of Mania.
I mean, Skyler, we got to get you the title.
I would love it.
Skyler, now you have to go down there.
I'll tell you what, I would.
You turn it back to the hardcore title, I hope.
I would do a lot better pin.
Oh.
It felt like you bet he'd be protecting the suit. Oh. It looked like he was protecting the suit.
We're starting the feud early here.
You gotta be willing to shred some fabric if you're going to make a cover.
That's true.
Yeah. If you're going for the pin, you shred fabric.
I already destroyed Dipperstein in the debate. We might as well take Rosenberg down at the same time, too, and just steal their whole entire fucking podcast while we're
see the thing is this. We'll see the thing.
Let's see the thing.
All right, it's time for us to go. It's time for us to go. Everybody, thanks for listening. We had a great time in the Cowzoop Thunderdome. If you're a patron, make sure if you dig this podcast, this is a bonus pod for you. This isn't even an effect. We're still going to be hit on regular schedule this week. Go to patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Check out the show. Skyler, when is Zoe's on?
Zoe's is on every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on NBC.
Hell yeah. NBC. Heard of it? Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Also, go over to Peacock and watch the other ones if you haven't seen them yet, if you want to catch
up. And learn how to use Peacock if you're a bit boomer, because WWE Network will be on there. I think it's already on there. I think there's already WWE shit on there, right?
I think it's in
March. All right, everybody. Congratulations to all of us on the Rumble. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen often.